Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Monday, July 6th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as starting pitcher Martin Perez was placed on the 15-day IL with a forearm contusion. Perez was hit by a comebacker a couple of days ago. X-rays came back negative, so he doesn't have anything broken, but Perez will miss the next couple of weeks. I don't expect him to miss more than the minimum time, though. So we should see Martin Perez back in the Braves rotation in a couple of weeks, as long as some youngsters don't step up and take his spot. Reliever Carlos Carrasco was designated for assignment as well. And to replace Perez and Carrasco on the active roster, the Braves recalled starting pitcher J.R. Richie from the minors and selected the contract of starting pitcher Owen Murphy, who's the Braves' number six prospect. He was the 20th overall pick back in 2022. And this year, between AA and AAA, Owen Murphy has pitched to a 4.44 ERA with a 1.26 whip and a 27% strikeout rate in 16 games started. Both Richie and Murphy are expected to work as swingmen out of the bullpen, with potential for a start here in the future. But it looks like Hurston Waldrep will stick in the rotation to replace Martin Perez. Murphy even made his MLB debut yesterday, taking the loss while pitching the 10th in a tie game. His four-seamer looked doped, though, sitting 93 miles per hour with 18 inches of IVB and 1.5 HAVA, making it an effective pitch as he throws it with a flat approach angle with a lot of vertical movement with, you know, not great velocity, decent velocity at 93. And if he can locate that four-seamer upstairs in concert with his big curveball landing low, we could see a lot of success from Owen Murphy moving forward. I think the biggest questions for him, the biggest boxes to check, will be nailing down his changeup and throwing enough strikes across his arsenal. And that will be the determining factor of whether or not he can have success as a big league starter. But for now, Owen Murphy, Braves number six prospect, will be pitching out of the bullpen. And lastly, reliever Max Ragic was placed on the 15-day IL with an elbow injury. Ragic is headed for the dreaded second opinion on his elbow, so hopefully that comes back positive and he doesn't require any sort of cutting into his elbow to relieve him of this injury. That's Max Ragic. Reliever Gordon Graceffo was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move. They are both relievers for the St. Louis Cardinals. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Mason Englert was optioned to the minors by the Rays after making a spot start on Monday and striking out nine batters. Reliever Chris Roycroft was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Next, reliever Evan Phillips was activated from the 60-day IL after missing all season following Tommy John surgery, which he underwent last June. Phillips will be a key member of the Dodgers bullpen moving forward. Reliever Paul Gervais was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. Next, we got shortstop Braden Shoemake, who was activated from the 10-day IL after missing more than a month with an adductor strain. Shoemake will be on the strong side of a shortstop platoon with Nick Allen. Allen was the everyday shortstop with Jeremy Peña on the IL, but Allen will now be forced to the bench against right-handed starters, but he'll get in the lineup against left-handed starters. Third baseman Raynel Delgado was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. Next, starting pitcher Patrick Sandoval was activated from the 60-day IL. He's missed all of the past 2.5 seasons after Tommy John surgery, which he underwent in June of 2024. So Patrick Sandoval returning to the mound finally for the Red Sox. It's been a long time. He's expected to start on Thursday on the south side of Chicago. Like I said, he hasn't pitched in the major since 2024, but he got up to 68 pitches in his final rehab appearance. I'm excited to see what the Irish Panda does in his return to the majors later this week. Reliever Alec Gamboa was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, catcher James McCann was activated from the 10-day IL after missing about 6 weeks with a quad strain. McCann will be the Diamondbacks' backup catcher, while catcher Adrian Del Castillo was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. In terms of news, starting pitcher Hunter Dobbins is expected to be recalled from the minors today to start versus Milwaukee in one half of their doubleheader. And lastly, starting pitcher Grayson Rodriguez is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL on Saturday to start in Minnesota. Rodriguez has been out for nearly a month with lower back inflammation. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Monday, a day in which we had just eight games on the slate. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with first baseman Matt Olson, who did all he could, but the Braves lost to the Mets. He went 2-for-5 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 24 homers on the season now. First one went 403 feet at 106 miles per hour, and the second one went 379 feet at 100 miles per hour. The Braves' offense has struggled this summer, but Olson will be the last person blamed as he's continued his electric campaign. His 138 WRC plus this year is his highest mark since his 54 homer 2023 campaign. This year looks guaranteed to be Olson's first season since that 2023 campaign with more than 30 homers. He topped out at 29 in each of the past 2 years, and he's well on his way to the second 40 homer campaign of his career. Next, we've got outfielder Elliot Ramos, who helped the Giants to win against the Blue Jays, going 3-for-5 with 3 runs, a triple, 2 home runs, and 5 runs batted in. He's up to 8 homers now. The first one went 349 feet at 99 miles per hour, and the second one went 444 feet at 110 miles per hour. It's been a bit of a roller coaster campaign for Elliot Ramos. He opened the season as cold as anyone, batting 231 with no homers and a 48 WRC plus through his first 18 games, but he figured things out for a month immediately after that, batting 290 with 4 homers and a 133 WRC plus across his next 26 games before suffering a quad strain that held him out of action for 6 weeks. Well, Ramos has gotten right back down to business upon his return, batting 313 with 4 homers and a 217 WRC plus in 8 games. And if you erase those first 18 games, Elliot Ramos has got 34 games of elite production, batting 295 with 8 homers and a 153 WRC plus. That's elite, and it's also supported by elite StatCast metrics such as a 94 mile per hour average exit velocity, which is in the 96th percentile, as well as an 18% barrel rate, which is in the 97th percentile, and a 57% hard hit rate, which is in the 98th percentile. And those numbers completely back up his production across his past 34 games. As I mentioned, 295, 8 homers, 153 WRC plus. Ramos needs to be rostered universally. And next, we've got shortstop Jose Caballero, who helped the Yankees to win in Tampa Bay, going 2-for-3 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 4 runs batted in. He's up to 10 homers now. The first one went 395 feet at 102 miles per hour, and the second one went 398 feet at 102 miles per hour. And this has barely been Caballero's best offensive campaign, according to WRC+. His 99 mark in that category is the best of his career, but I think it's only by 1 or 2 points. But if we're just looking at power, Caballero's blown past anything he's done in the past. He set a career high by reaching 10 home runs yesterday. But the interesting thing is that his underlying metrics struggle to make sense of his career high homer total. He's hit fewer fly balls than ever with the worst barrel rate of his career. He just seems to be timing his hard hit pulled fly balls extremely well to make the most of his limited power. And everything really points to Caballero being much worse offensively moving forward. His plate discipline is not great. His strikeouts are down, but they're not supported by a lower whiff rate or a different approach that suggests that he should be striking out less often. He's not walking as often. I don't believe that his batted ball metrics are good enough to maintain his 99 WRC plus, but maybe the antics he does at the plate and his speed allow him to be a lot better. And so it's really hard to count out one of the game's peskiest players. Caballero should maintain fantasy relevance with his 10 homers and 20 steals thus far. And lastly, we've got shortstop Tyler Tolbert, who helped the Royals to win against the Phillies, going 5-for-5 with 3 runs, a double, a home run, and 2 runs batted in. Was the first home run of the year for Tyler Tolbert, and it went 376 feet at 94 miles per hour. Tolbert doesn't have a regular role for the Royals, but his versatility allows him to find his way into the lineup semi-regularly. He can play every infield position left of first base and every outfield spot, but he's rarely proven capable of hitting the ball over the fence. Yesterday, Dinger was just the second of his short career. And while he doesn't have power, Tolbert has displayed tons of speed, topping out at 60 stolen bases in the minors while stealing 17 this year between MLB and AAA. 9 of those have come in the majors. The question has always been about Tolbert's ability to get on base. A 406 BABIP has inflated his batting average to 333, which has allowed him to tap into his wheels more often than you would expect, but his poor batted ball metrics suggest his bat shouldn't be relied upon. So we can't really rely on Tyler Tolbert as a consistent source of stolen bases. Now we can head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Cam Schlittler, who helped the Yankees to win in Tampa Bay, tossing 8 innings, allowing just 4 hits and 1 run, walking nobody while fanning 8. He induced 16 whiffs with 33% CSW across 101 pitches, and Schlittler tied for the gallows pole by inducing those 16 whiffs, which tied for the MLB lead on Monday. Schlittler also sat a tick up with extra IVB and absolutely dominated with his four-seam fastball for 16 whiffs, 47% CSW and 82% strikes, as he upped the usage to 56% and used that fastball to account for all 8 of his strikeouts. Just an incredible dominating performance with that fastball from Cam Schlittler. He's now second in baseball with a 2.01 ERA. It's the best mark in the American League. He's fourth in MLB with 131 strikeouts. He's fourth with 112 innings pitched, and he's fourth with a 0.93 ERA. An incredible season from Cam Schlittler, who is well on his way to being the American League Cy Young Award winner. Opposite him was Griffin Jacks, who did all he could, but the Rays lost to the Yankees. He tossed 5 innings, allowing just 1 hit, but he allowed 3 earned runs while walking 2 and striking out 10. He induced 16 whiffs with 40% CSW across 81 pitches, and Jacks earned the golden goal by tying for the gallows pole with those 16 whiffs and earning the King Cole by leading baseball with that 40% CSW. We've seen Jacks surpass 5 frames just once this year in his previous start, but at least he and the Rays have proven comfortable allowing Jacks to surpass more than 80 pitches, which gives him a higher ceiling to chase as he gets more efficient and pitches deeper into games. This start should have been even better than it was. All 3 base runners scoring is rough. A hit, 2 walks, but 3 earned runs, that's sort of messed up. And it was a string of 3 batters that started with a pair of walks and culminated in a 3-run home run in his final frame. So he had 2 walks and then a home run. Other than that, Jacks was perfect. No base runners outside of that. And I'm so glad to see his 96-mile-per-hour fastball velocity hold, as well as seeing his secondaries continue to be dope, especially his sweeper, which he deployed as his primary offering on Monday for 6 whiffs, 58% CSW, and 71% strikes. I'd be starting Griffin Jacks everywhere versus the Mariners next. He has a 27% strikeout rate since becoming a starter, so he's certainly an elite source of strikeouts. And lastly, we have Landon Rupp, who helped the Giants to win against the Blue Jays, tossing 8 innings, allowing 3 hits and 1 run, walking 2 while fanning 5. He induced 11 whiffs with 26% CSW across 104 pitches. Rupp located his sinkers effectively to survive 8 frames, and obviously that's going to take some fortunate batted ball luck. The righty returned 20 outs on 23 balls in play as he churned out weakly hit batted balls versus right-handed batters and found 80% of his strikeouts against left-handed batters, as low changeups and high cutters worked super well together. Overall, this was a huge and great bounce back after Rupp allowed 6 runs and 6 walks in his previous start. And he's been a lot more up and down since the beginning of May. And while the ratios aren't great, the stuff and strikeouts are still intact. And Rupp gets an easy matchup with Rocky Road next. Keep starting him, hold on to him. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Monday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable, no, now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Clayton Beter pitched a perfect 4-out save, his 7th of the year. Luke Weaver worked around the zombie runner scoring in the 10th for his first save. Devin Williams pitched in that one, allowing serving up a 2-run homer while pitching the 9th up by 2 to blow his 2nd save. So Williams, 2-run home run to blow his 2nd save, but Luke Weaver held on for the save in the 10th inning. And lastly, Trevor Megill pitched a scoreless 9th for his 14th save. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, David Bednar pitched a perfect ninth with a 4-run lead after the Yankees tacked on an insurance run in the top half to ruin Bednar's save opportunity. Raisel Iglesias served up a 3-run home run in the ninth to blow his first save. The Braves would lose that one in 10 frames. And lastly, Tanner Scott allowed 3 runs in the ninth to blow his second save, but the Dodgers would hold on to win in 11 innings. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Tuesday, July 7th, a day in which we'll have a packed slate of 16 games as we've got a doubleheader between the Brewers and the Cardinals. My matchup of the day is Brian Wu versus Max Meyer. Not guaranteed to see Wu starting. He hasn't been announced yet, but he's on the schedule everywhere. So I expect Brian Wu to square off against Max Meyer. That should be a great start. Both guys have some incredible breaking stuff. I'm excited to see Wu have some success on the road because we have not seen that a lot this year. In terms of probable starters, we've got 8 guys in the auto starts tier, including Wu and Meyer. We've also got Jacob Mizorowski in St. Louis, Tarek Skubal versus the A's, and Jacob DeGrom versus the Angels. Our probably starts tier has 6 guys, and our questionable starts tier has 6 as well as our streamer. And that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Robert Gasser, who's taking on the Cardinals in St. Louis. He hasn't officially been announced, but with Brandon Woodruff heading to the IL and a doubleheader slated for today, the Brewers are very highly likely to call upon Robert Gasser to start in this one. And he was pretty solid before he got demoted, and I think he's going to be pretty decent in St. Louis. I'd also keep an eye out for Noah Schultz versus the Red Sox. They're a little better against left-handed pitchers than they are versus right-handed pitchers. And Schultz didn't look great in his first start back from the IL, but I think his stuff is solid enough. And given the other options, I think Schultz is our best option as a streamer outside of Robert Gasser. In terms of hitter suggestions, I'd look at Phillies and Reds hitters in Great American Ballpark. It's one of the best hitters parks in baseball, but we'll be seeing Zach Wheeler square off against Andrew Abbott in that one. I'd also look at Brewers and Cardinals hitters in American Family Field because they've got a doubleheader, so you get double at-bats from Brewers and Cardinals hitters. In Game 1, we're likely to see Hunter Dobbins against Jacob Mizorowski, and in Game 2, it should be Michael McGreevy versus Robert Gasser. And lastly, I target Diamondbacks and Padres hitters in Petco Park because of the pitching matchup. We'll see Zach Gallen and his 6.36 ERA square off against Herman Marquez and his 5.79 ERA. Now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. Trevor McGill has pitched on back-to-back days and in 3 of the past 4, so expect Abner Uribe to step up for the Brewers. And Devin Williams has pitched on back-to-back days, but so have both Luke Weaver and Brooks Raley. So Huascar Brazoban should be the top option for a save out of the Mets bullpen on Tuesday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.